good to be here today with you. Let's pray. Father God, I want to praise you and I want to thank you for who you are. I want to praise you that in the midst of a dark world, you came to be the light. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would help us to understand further about who you are and who you created us to be. And I pray, Lord, that you would just help me to get out of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. So recently, I got to watch a movie, and I love my movies. But in this movie, there was this young boy, 4 or 5 years old, and he's in India. And he is waiting at the train station, and his brother, he wakes up, his brother's not there, and so he hops on a train looking for him. And he ends up on this train basically 2 days away from where he started. He ends up in a place where he knows no one. He ends up in a place where he doesn't even speak the language. He lives on his own for 2 months, and there's a lot of trials and tribulations in the process, and eventually he ends up in a place where they're trying to help him, and he tells them where he's from, and he tells them where he's from, and they can't find this place that doesn't exist. He's been mispronouncing it the whole time, but he doesn't know it because he's 4 or 5. Eventually, this young man is adopted, and we kind of watch little bits of his life. But 25 years later, he's in a house. He goes into a room, and he sees some food from his childhood, and he sort of breaks down. And everybody's visible, and people recognize that he's breaking down, and so they're kind of wanting to know what's going on. And all he can really say is, "I'm lost. I'm lost." Eventually, after searching, he found the village of his birth. And we find out that all along in this movie, his understanding of his name has been that his name is Saru. And he learns in this village that his name was not Saru, but it was Sharu, which means lion. That's the purpose of this series. We've established lots of ways to describe who we are and the state of our reality, but we have failed to understand who we are. We have names for ourselves, but you've been mistaken. We've learned through this series that we are sons and daughters, heirs of God, that we are redeemed, that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And today we're going to build on that understanding of our identity in Christ. And I think one of the most used imagery or pieces of imagery throughout Scripture is actually this imagery of light. And we've talked about it a little bit this morning. And I love this imagery. You know, think about what light does. It reveals what was hidden. It lights our path. It provides safety. It provides security. It can point the way. It prevents you from tripping and falling. It allows us to stay on the path, moving in the right direction. It provides you with warmth. Light is not just something you see, it's something that you feel. It's a presence. It cares for you. It allows things to grow. It provides life. But what I love most about light is its power. And I'll get into that a little bit more in a minute. But what we need to understand first is something that I think we probably understand full well. There is this thing called darkness. We spend our lives dreading and being afraid of the dark. As children, often we're fearful, but if we were honest, we're probably more fearful now than we ever were then. We equate the worst things in this world with darkness: death, loneliness, depression, alcoholism, all of our personal struggles. And we feel this darkness moving in around us, suffocating us, drawing the life from us. We allow this darkness to come in and we don't even recognize and see the life and the light that is present oftentimes. But darkness is simply the absence of light. Darkness is nothing. It cannot change anything. It cannot do anything about the presence of life. You cannot walk into a room and carry darkness and it become dark. But you can bring light into a dark space and it becomes light. Wherever you take light, darkness flees. It cannot stay. It cannot withstand the light. St. Francis says, all the darkness in the world cannot extinguish the light of a single flame. How fitting that Jesus would be referred to as the light. How fitting that on the night of his birth, there is this enormous star, this light, signaling his arrival. He came to the world at a dark time, and, you know, I think we tend to think, oh, man, things in Scripture, boy, that was easy. That was easy. I think they actually probably had it a lot worse than we did. Things were horrible. People were being killed. We worry in our society today about the haves and the have-nots, and that was pretty evident there. There were lots of struggles. There were lots of types of classes and persecution. There was darkness, and people were crying out for a Savior. People were crying out of this dark place. And he came to the world at this dark time, a time when things felt hopeless. John 1:4 says, in him was life, and that life was the light of all humankind. John 8:12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness. They will have that light. They will have life. We can understand why Jesus was referred to as the light of the world. We get that. And I could go deeper into that. I could ask you all about that. You could tell me how Jesus brought light, how Jesus brought change, how Jesus impacted this world for good and gave people hope. And the fact that you're sitting here may mean that he gave you hope, that he brought light into your life. What happens next in Scripture, and especially like if you follow the book of John, like there's lots of these references to light and how Jesus is the light. But then it gets really crazy because Jesus then turns around and he tells them that you are the light of the world. That's crazy talk. You are the light of the world. Several years ago, I was still working at camp. That's pretty much the story of my life. I was working at camp. And I had this young lady named Ember, and she was working on staff for me. And she did a great job that summer. She was a little bit different, but she really, really worked hard. But from the moment she got there, she made it clear that her plans after camp were to join the military, and that she hoped that she ended up in Afghanistan. And this was the height of that kind of war and that kind of situation going on. And everybody thought, well, that's a little bit different. But nobody took the time to ask her about it. She actually caught some grief throughout the summer from her peers. And she cut her hair real short through the summer, just kind of prepping herself, getting herself ready. And at the end of the summer, I did an exit interview with her. And when we were done with the main stuff, I just said to her, I was like, tell me about why it is that you're wanting to go into the military, why it is that you want to be in Afghanistan. And she told me, she said, I feel that God is calling me to the deepest, darkest places of the world. And I can't imagine any place being more dark and more in need than Afghanistan. And so she pursued that. And even while she was in training for the military, some of the people that were with her in training like gave their life to Christ. Because everywhere she went, she carried this light. And she understood that her purpose was to carry that light, to shine that light. Being the light of the world means that there is something different and compelling about people who know who they really are, their true identity. You know, several years ago, I think it was Gatorade that had this, this whole slogan. And it was called, Is It In You? And I think, you know, as we're talking about this light, a lot of us are probably like, well, that's really all good and well, but what does that have to do with me? I get that Jesus is the light of the world. I even get that some other people might carry that light into the world, but that's not me. That's not who I am. I don't carry that. I'm not that. You're here because you recognize that you have this great need in your life. You're here because you recognize that things are dark and that things are falling apart and that things are difficult. And you came to realize that you need the love of a Savior who can forgive you and provide you mercy and grace and make you whole. And so you understand that. And in Romans 8, verses 1 and 2, or the first part of 2, it says, so now anyone who is in Christ Jesus is not judged guilty or is not condemned. That is because in Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit brings life. That brings life, made you free. If we are in Christ Jesus, then the light is who we are. We've talked about the Holy Spirit, and allowing God to be in our lives brings the light, and the Holy Spirit can come into each and every one of us, and we can shine that light. For those of us that are this light of the world, there are things that we need to do, these characteristics. One of those is that we extend God's welcome. We recognize that all people are God's people, and we invite them into His story for them and into the flock or the family of God. This happens regardless of their flavor of sin. At the beginning of Luke, Luke 15, that's basically where it starts out with Jesus. And then beyond that, there's the story of the lost coin and the story of the lost sheep and the story of the two lost sons. But what triggers those stories is pretty significant. It's two verses at the beginning of that. And basically what it says is that Jesus eats with sinners and tax collectors. And what you find is the religious leaders are observing this, and they're not whispering among themselves about it. They are saying it so loud and clear that Jesus at his table with sinners and tax collectors hears what's going on, and he responds to it. And he tells this story about how God values lost things and how he pursues lost things and lost sheep and how he wants to take them and return them to his flock, to his family, to their rightful place. And so he does this. And the great thing about this story, or these three sets of stories that are lined up there, and by the way, when there's a story, there are three like that, it means pay attention. This is really important, and you've missed the point already, so I'm going to say it again, and pay attention because this is the essence of who I am and what I'm about. But the biggest part of that is not the fact that he tells these stories, but that he is currently living out what he says. The sinners, the tax collectors, the lost, the hurting, those who are in the dark, those that people would say are not good enough. Jesus is sitting with them and pursuing them. But in this story, in those two quick short verses, it also basically says those sinners and tax collectors sought him out. They chose to come and listen to him. In our world, it would be really hard for us to fathom how someone who is lost and hurting in the world would decide to step in these doors and to come and to listen and to ask us questions, because they would be fearful of judgment and condemnation. But Jesus sat at a table, and they knew that they were welcome. They knew that they were invited. They knew that they were loved. And they knew that he had something that they desired. That is who we are called to be. This is the invite part of our mission at Broadway. We are asking people to sit at the table with Jesus. At Broadway, everyone is welcome. We don't ask people to change and then come. You and I wouldn't have been here if we did. We say, come experience God's love and you will never be the same. So we extend God's welcome. The next thing we do is that we never fight darkness with darkness. The false you says to worry, be afraid, and to protect, that you must fight hate with hate, that you should try to overcome ugliness by adding more ugliness. Logically, that doesn't make sense. I know math is not all of our strong suit, but when I take hate and I add hate on it, it does not equal love, and it does not equal peace, and it does not equal grace. Something has to change. Something has to break the cycle. Light is the weapon in your arsenal that overcomes, overpowers, and takes away the darkness. If we are the light of the world, why would we fight darkness with more hate, anger, fear, worry, ugliness, cruelty, or violence? There is darkness in the world, and the light is needed. God's light is in you, and it is needed. It can be hard to use love in the face of hate. It can be hard to rely on our light when we see so much darkness. John 16:33 says, or it acknowledges this trouble, but provides a greater truth. It says, "In this world you will have trouble, but be encouraged. I have overcome the world." Jesus tells us that the one who is in you, the light, is greater than the one who is in the world, the dark. We claim God's promise for those with hope. That's the third thing we do. We claim God's promise for those without hope. Without hope. When Laura was speaking in this video, one of the things I thought of is, like, if we took Bowling Green and we were just like, where is the darkness? Then we would probably gravitate towards areas like around the Foundry, and where there's poverty and where there's hurting and where there's violence and where there's crime. And one of the things that this church is doing is you are taking this light and you're not hoarding it here inside these walls, but you are taking it to the darkest place in this city. And it is providing hope, and it is changing lives, and it is revealing not simply who you are, but it is revealing who Jesus is. In our world, in our media, if you ask people about Christianity, they would tell you that we are about hate and that we are about judgment and all kinds of other things that are not very pretty. But if you take a look at what those who truly believe and follow Jesus Christ are like and what they look like, then they look like more like people who take their lives and their money and they enter into the darkness. And in the midst of darkness, beautiful things happen. Matthew 14 through 16 says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven." The world knows about darkness. What they need is a beacon of hope. Another set of scripture in Romans chapter 12 this time, and it's actually just in the second verse, the first part of it, basically says, "Don't change yourselves to be like the people of this world, but let God change you inside with a new way of thinking." I think so often we get scared by the darkness. We see that it's coming. We worry about what that means. We worry about what people will think, and so we change ourselves. And ultimately what we do is we take this light that God has given us and we do our best to cover it up and to hide it. And we try to make it worthless. But you were not intended to be this kind of light. You were intended to be this kind of light that cannot be hidden, that should be seen. Because this light is not just about you doing God's work in the world. This light is also about helping other people recognize in their darkness that there is something else. And that there is something that draws them, something that they want, something that they need and they desire. Your light is not about you. It is about him and his glory and about those who are in the darkness. You are the light of the world. Do not hide your light. 48. I won't do as good as a friend of mine does, but I have a friend that's a pastor, and he goes to Israel, and he likes, like, the old artifacts, and you know, in scripture, it talks about how your word is a lamp unto my feet. And he has like this little clay lamp. And you would have put the oil in, and on the end would have been this very small light. And it was just enough probably to light your path for you to see. And all it helped you see was what was next. And so you were really walking by faith, seeing what God revealed in that next moment, in that next piece of time. And that's really all that we need to know in our world is not what's way, way ahead, but God, what do you desire to do right now with this light that you've placed in me? How do you desire me to live and to use this and to be a light unto the world? I get that it can be intimidating. I get that it can be scary. But I also get that if you are not allowing your light to shine, that you are missing out on God's blessings. And you are also causing the world to not find and to see who God is and what he intends for them, the life that he intends for them. You are the light of the world. Do not hide your light. And I didn't intend to do this. I've talked about this before in some other places. I've got like 1 minute that I can speak to this, so I will. I think often, you know, in Scripture it says don't hide your light under a bushel. You know, that's really silly. Why would you do that? Why would you hide under a bushel? But I think the American church, we use our buildings as a bushel. And we bring the light of God into this place, and we sing, and we praise, and we shine, and we talk about how amazing he is. And then we set our light down, and we walk out, and we think that everything else is separate. There was a light that God used to draw you into his family and to bring you back into his flock, into his fold. And you are the light that he intends to use to do that in others' lives. When you leave this place today, let your light shine bright. Let's pray. Father God, I want to praise you for who you are. You are most undoubtedly the light of the world. And you have brought me and these people of yours out of darkness and fear into a place of light and life. Help us to remember who we are and whose we are. We are your image bearers. We are your light bearers. And where we go, we take your light. Let it shine, not for our glory, but for yours. In Jesus' name, amen. So, since Pastor Wayne's not here, the good thing is you do not have to hear about how great Alabama was yesterday. The thing you will have to experience is I'm going to set us up for communion today, which is not necessarily something I do very often. But that's okay, because this is not about me. And Christ said that there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for a friend in John 15:13. Then he followed through by laying his life down for you. His body was broken and his blood was shed for the forgiveness of your sins. And that is not a temporary thing. That is a permanent thing. That is your sin is no more. You may say that you are not worthy, you did not earn it, and you would be correct. But God's love made a way. His grace invites us to be his children. This isn't about what you've done. It's about what he's done for you. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, gave thanks to God, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, he gave thanks, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." I'll ask those who are helping to come on up. We will do communion by intinction today, which means that you will tear off a piece of bread and you will dip it into the juice and eat that all at once. I'll also speak to this. So, like, when we come up here, often we take this bread and we believe that there is a very limited amount of bread. And so we tear off the tiniest piece, and we can barely even get much of the juice on it. God is not a God of scarcity. He is a God of grace. And for as much as you need grace in your life, he has that amount of grace available for you. And so don't be afraid to tear off as much as you need, because he has it for you. Are you the juice or the bread? We've got. Come and accept the grace that God offers you.
All the empty claims heard upon this earth speaks righteousness for me, stands in my defense. Jesus, it's your blood. Your blood speaks a better word than all the empty claims heard upon this earth speaks righteousness for me, stands in my defense. Jesus, it's your blood. What can wash away our sins? What can make us whole? Nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash us pure as snow? Welcomed as the friends of God. Nothing but your blood.
Testifies in grace to of the Father's heart to make a way for us. Now boldly we approach, not through earthly confidence. It's only by your blood. What can wash away? Nothing but the blood.
Sorry, I got one more thing.
That's cool.
Join me. Warren's going to sing for us.
Oh, man.
This little light of mine.
Oh, all right.
I don't have to, but I just, it was just, let's put that. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
The light of the world. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Wonderful. So glad. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, Warren.
My pleasure, man. Thank you.
Excellent.
Thank you very much. Awesome. Hey, brother. Thank you.
Very good.
Thank you.
Would you ever have thought?
Right. I wouldn't have either.